Very glad that Benedicta van Minnen, the DA Western Cape spokesperson on police oversight and community safety, is on the line and has agreed to talk to us about the murders in the Western Cape. These despite the deployment of the South African National Defence Force as well as the police. Benedicta van Minnen, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me on.
So, Benedicta, when you see a number like 603 murders in public spaces in just 3 months, I want to know your reaction, not just as a public representative, but also as a resident of the Western Cape.
Well, I mean, there's over 600 lives that have been lost in spaces where people should be safe and where people should be able to exercise their rights to safety, to dignity, to security. So, I mean, it's over and above everything else. It's absolutely tragic for the people themselves, for their families, their parents, their children. And it's something that we absolutely have to bring to a stop.
So help us understand this. How is it that the criminals are able to operate so freely in public spaces despite the South African Police Force and the SANDF recent deployments?
Look, there's several reasons. Firstly, the SADF is only about 180 members in Operation Prosper at the moment. So they really aren't able to do very much at all.
Interesting.
They don't have policing powers. So whereas they can accompany the police, they can't arrest people. They can't go in and deal with situations, build dockets like the police can. They are very much a distraction. What we need to do is equip the police, who themselves are suffering from huge shortages. Instead of 20,000 police officers in the Western Cape, we're currently sitting with about 12,000. Then their vehicles, they're under-equipped. Their detectives are horrifically overburdened. I mean, it's regular to meet detectives who are dealing with 250 cases. Now, no human being can build dockets on 250 cases. It's just completely impossible. So it's a case of police resources. It's a case of working together with other role players like the City of Cape Town. And that could be a real game changer. Even General Patakile, who's retiring at the end of the month, has come online now as saying that there should be certain powers assigned to the municipal police so they can assist.
I find it fascinating listening to you, just in terms of how wrong my preconceived ideas are. When I'd heard some time ago that the SA Defence Forces were going to be deployed, I thought, oh, that's just the best news ever. This will make a massive difference. But what you're telling me is I fell for the headline that it was always going to be more symbolic than strategic and was never going to make the difference that was required. I would have thought their very presence on the ground would have been a deterrent at some level, on some level.
Well, you see, unfortunately, we've had cases, I can think of several offhand,
yeah,
where there was a shooting, for example, in Bonthevel some weeks ago, where the police and the SADF turned up. They had been told exactly where the shooters were.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they went across the road to another house, searched that house. Meanwhile, the shooters were standing opposite them, watching them, and then summoned an Uber and went off to Rondebosch.
You've got to be kidding.
So there's very muddled lines of command. We don't know who's in charge. The police, as I say, have certain skills which the SANDF do not have. So at best, they can accompany. And at the end of the day, that doesn't actually make much of a difference. Because remember also that criminals and communities are very invested in what they do. It isn't by chance. So they also have a pretty good idea of what's going on in those urban spaces. And they take advantage of any gap they can get. So we really, and this is a really important one. I mean, I was in a police station in Khayelitsha today called Makaza. What used to be sitting at station level, which is the police intelligence, the crime intelligence, is now being moved to the provincial level of SADF, so they, or the SAP. So it's not in the stations. So the stations don't have an idea of what's happening at the higher levels, and they were sitting, this is extortion in that particular community, they had 7 people murdered last week. But because they don't know what's happening at the higher up levels with police intelligence, they're doing what they can, but they're extremely limited because they're not getting resources.
Boy, this is one hell of a wake-up call that you are providing us with this afternoon. You've been blunt that roadblocks and door-to-door campaigns create the appearance of action, and yet these operations seem to fail to disrupt real criminal networks. Why is that?
Well, I mean, if we just want to talk about roadblocks, there's a very serious criminal network, certainly stretching across the Western Cape and the rest of the country. There are international smuggling rings that go from various ports to various borders over various roads. It's a very sophisticated system. And, you know, these are guys who really know what they're doing. So at that level, what they do is they keep an eye out. They have a pretty good idea of where things are going to be happening. So it is relatively easy, should we say, to evade sometimes the SAPS roadblocks. An exception, we were in Worcester about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They've made some fantastic arrests because they're able to make use of the tunnel and the tolls to be able to stop people. And they've, again, had inside information, which shows you how much crime intelligence helps. They've had some really, really good busts. And, I mean, their police dogs, one police dog has found drugs up to 5 million rand in one bust. So it's possible to do. It's out there. And in my view, we should also be bringing the traffic department into much higher level, particularly in internal spaces like the Karoo, to be able to stop and apprehend. Because at the end of the day, drugs have to move on roads. If we can stop that, and if we can start building capacity there, that is also going to start making a big difference.
I guess the drugs and gangs issue is quite related, and it's interesting because we keep hearing that very few gang leaders are actually behind bars, and kind of that makes you wonder, why is the system struggling to take down the people who actually run the violence?
Well, all you need to do, and I mean, I go past the High Court every day, is the trials that have been going on for years and years and years that start off with, you know, 25 witnesses. Several years later, are down to sort of two or three witnesses. I think the Mark Liffman trial is a case in point there, where you know, his assassination caused big issues. So it's really difficult with economic crimes to essentially secure those convictions. But even when they are secured, it's relatively easy for gang leaders in prisons to still communicate with their networks. And bear in mind that gangs, drugs, guns, trafficking of animal matter like rhino horn, human trafficking, all of that hangs together in a rather unholy alliance that unfortunately goes through enormous national borders, South America, Southern Africa, Asia, Australia. It really is part of a much greater problem.
So you're calling for intelligence-driven policing. What does that actually mean to somebody like me who doesn't quite understand that? And what do you need that you don't have right now?
We need resources, which ultimately comes down to finance, to be invested into crime intelligence, into actually understanding those networks, to understand what's going on in a community. That's vital. At the moment, we really have no insight into what is going on there at all. That is incredibly important. We also need more police. We need to have assignment to the municipal police who can assist with fantastic oversight centres that we have in Cape Town. I've also seen one up in the Garden Route where they have cameras, where they have all kinds of resources that can be utilised. And we need vehicles. So it's everything, really. I mean, at the moment, what's also appalling, out of the current police budget, which is about 127 billion for the following, for the next year, 102 billion is being spent purely on staffing, which essentially means that, you know, 82 cents out of every rand is spent on staff costs, not on hardcore policing work. And that's a massive problem, and that is a wake-up call.
I guess the one thing we haven't spoken about this afternoon is the communities. I'm just thinking, you talk about a place like Delft, and I'd probably be scared to go there in the evenings. To what extent are you getting buy-ins from the Delfts and the Nangas and the Nyangas?
We are getting buy-in. It's one of the very direct measurables that we can do at the Western Cape provincial government is we have CPFs, neighborhood watches. We have wonderful people in neighborhood watches. And you wouldn't believe how in some communities it's women and older women at that who make up the backbone of a lot of those neighborhood watches. So we do have buy-in. We have relationships with CPFs. There's funding, training for CPFs and neighborhood watches, farm watches. So there is a really good communication with the community who knows that everyone is trying to do good work. The problem is that criminals are also often part of the community. And so they're also able to operate with their structures. So it's a matter of basically trying to claim the space to keep people safe.
Wow, what a job you have. Not for all the money in the world would I want to do it, Benedicta van Minnen, but you certainly do it very well. Thank you so much for being with us on Chai FM. Appreciate your input.